Well, we need the help of the Lord this morning to bring a little of His Word to us. I just feel like the Lord, a few days ago, gave me a real sweet little visit about Jesus and the power in His name. It's kind of a pretty simple thought, but I think about the power of it. If we can realize the power in the name of Jesus, we can work with confidence through life. We thank the Lord for that we've been made aware and that we've heard the gospel preached to us of the name of Jesus. I want to start in Acts 4 and 10. It says here, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." And there had been a great healing done here, and I believe it was Peter here, it was Peter, that was speaking, and he told the ones here, he said that, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." I'd like for us to think this morning just a little bit about the power that's in that name. Another verse over in Matthew 28 and 18. You know, if we can realize, and the Bible says, the Word says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we can realize the power that is given through the name of Jesus, it'll help us, I believe. And it says here, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying," this is Matthew 28 and 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And you know, there was no power that was kept from Jesus. When he said here, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth," you realize that there isn't anything that he can't do, and that we know such a one as this that has that kind of authority that can help us in our life. You know, the Lord wants us to take hold of that this morning, that in the name of Jesus, all power in heaven and earth is made available to our needs. In John 10, I'm just laying a little foundation here. In John 10 and 17 and 18, Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." You know, Jesus had all, he had power. He didn't have to lay his life down. He said, "These people don't take my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." You know, Jesus had even power in life and death. He could lay his own life down and die and raise back up, because he has that kind of authority that's available to him. And I want to look now over in Numbers 21, and I know we've read this before. You've heard it a lot of times in your life, and so have I. But I want us to think this morning, it was such a blessing to me the other day when I read it. Numbers 21 and 7. These people, verse 6 says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.'" Now, you know, I have to believe that God, way back there, I mean, we know because of what the Scripture says later, but way back there, God brought this to pass and put this serpent on a pole because he had something in the future that he wanted to tell people. But you know, these people here, it was their own fault. And we all know that. They had murmured and they had displeased God in such a great way. And it was so grievous to the Lord that he sent serpents in among them. And they began to bite the people and they began to die. And they began to cry out to God. And so he told Moses. Moses prayed for him. He said, put a serpent up on a pole. And I'll tell you what, when they look on that serpent, they will live. When they look on that serpent. You know, in John 3, we see where that was fulfilled in the New Testament. Because people still today are bit by things. They're still bit by fiery serpents sometimes. And sometimes we have to look to the Lord. John 3 and 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, just like he did that, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now Christ was prophesying what was going to happen. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, this, I'm amazed at the positioning of the scriptures here, because this is where Jesus goes on and begins to speak to us. He said here that he would be raised up just as the serpent, so that when people looked on him, that they should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We've read these scriptures many times, and even not so long ago, some of them. But I just want to encourage us again this morning. In our battles of life, you know what? There is power. All power is given unto the Lord. And the Lord wants us to look up to him rather than die. He wants us to look up to him rather than suffer the ravages of the serpents that are around about us. The Lord wants us to live. He said, I came to bring life, and I came to bring it more abundantly. You know, that power is given to Christ by God, and he has all power in heaven and in earth, and he has power over our situation. Did all the people back there in the early times, did all of them look at that serpent and live? I doubt it. I believe there was something like 22,000, if I remember right, that died from that. And yet, many could have looked and lived. I want us to think this morning about our situation and about looking up to the Lord. I want to look at a couple of, I'll wait just a little bit. But I want to think about looking to the Lord. I want us to think this morning just a simple little thought about the things that come into our life. And if you want to call it that we get bitten by. I thought about some of, even disease. Do you realize that all power is given in heaven and earth? The Lord can, if he sees fit. He has perfect power to do with us as he will. And so that is why we rest ourselves in him, because we know him. Because we know we've told him our plight, and God has all that power in heaven and earth to help us. And we believe he does. And we believe when it's his will that if we have faith that he will do that for us. We believe that. He has that. I thought about sometimes people in life are bitten by sin. These people back here had sinned against the Lord. It was their fault. They had done it a purpose. They had angered the Lord. And yet, the Lord said, Moses, put a serpent up there. If they'll look at it, I'll give them life in spite of their bite. You know, God wants to give us life too. How many of us here can say we never sinned in our life? There's no one here that can say that, that's of any age past little tiny children. We know that we all have sinned at some time in our life. And many of us have done grievously against the Lord. But you know what? The Lord said, I'll be there. Look up to me. And I'll tell you what, I'll deliver you from that completely. And I'll deliver you from all of the things. I'll deliver you from what death was going to bring to you. I'll do that for you. You know, that ought to give us hope today. That we can look to the Lord. Lord, I need help. I'm going to die here. I'm going to die here. I'll spend eternity without God if you don't help me. And you know what? The Lord says, I put myself up there for you. I'm up there. Look up. Look up. Look to me. Look to me. Look to the Lord this morning. I want to encourage us to look up. But you know what? I don't believe that it's only the sins and things. We have to, in our life many times, look up and behold the Lord if we want to live. I thought about the questions sometimes. And there's many winds that float all over all the time. Many winds of doctrines. Many things that the enemy purposely has placed to trip us up and to cause us to lose our life. To cause us to be bitten and lose our ability to see clearly. The enemy is in that business. But you know, I think about something my wife has said. There was a time when she fell into this thing. She calls it the Whyensias, if I can use that term. When you get down to pray, instead of praying, you're thinking, why this? And well, why do we have to do that? And well, why is this? And why? Whyensias, she calls it. I thought it was a good name for it. But you know what? That'll keep us from living. Because life comes from the Lord. There has to be that time in our lives. And I want to encourage us today. If we have fallen into that, where we cannot come before the Lord and humble ourselves and drink clearly from the living stream, then we need to put it aside and look up from that thing. Look up from that place. You know what? It's not all wrong to ask why about something. But it is wrong to be bitten by something that we cannot drink clearly from the living stream. Because when we come in touch with the Lord, did He not give us the promise, I will lead you into all truth. I will guide you. You know what? We cannot figure everything out in our own mind because we will go astray. We will find ourselves without strength. And in due time, we will find ourselves without strength except for God helping us. So I want to encourage us this morning, look up to the Lord. Don't let the things that come around bite you and devour your life. Oh, how the Lord wants to give us a clear mind about things. He wants us to understand some things where we can get our foot and our feet on a clearer footing. And He does that all through our life, a little bit at a time. But until He does, we should put things behind us. Lord, I want to drink from the streams of life. Lord, I want to look up to You that has all power in heaven and earth. The power of life is in His hands, and He wants to give it to us today. If in our minds we have too much going on, too many wanderings, too many things stopping us. Too many, I can't get past this. No matter what it is, we've got to look away from it. We've got to look away from those things, those aggravations in our life, the things that we wish were different. We've got to take our eyes off of those things and look up to the Lord. He's required us to do that. We cannot live if we don't do that. I want to think about a scripture. And with that, Paul said one place, he said, I have learned to be content. Help me out here. Whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Paul said, I have learned to do that. You know what he learned to do? He learned to take his eyes off of the things that wasn't like he wanted. That's what he had to do that. He had to take his eyes away from that. And put them on the Lord. Lord, I know you could give me this thing if you wanted to. I know you could change this aggravation in my life if you wanted to. I've got that much confidence in you. I believe that you have all power in heaven and in earth. You know, that's the life of faith. I just want to encourage us this morning. Look up to the Lord. Don't be bitten by anything. If it stands between us and God, and every time we come to the place of prayer, we're meditating on some troubles, some problems, some aggravations, some questions, then what we'll find is we've been bit, and it's time for us. And many times it's just life. We get a lot on our mind, but we've got to turn our hearts away from those things. Lord, I want a drink from heaven. I need you to speak to my soul. I need you to lift me up and give me the courage to go on. Lord, I need a clear mind. I've got to have your help to know how to walk, to know how to raise my children, to know what's good for them and what's not good for them. Because we live in a world today that everything's good, somebody thinks. Nothing's bad. It's just up to you. That's not what God says. It's a bite. It's a serpent bite. Lord, teach us. Help us to hear your voice. Help us, Lord, to get our eyes off of those things. I was thinking about, you know, we said questions. Or anger. You know, if you've never been hurt deeply, somebody on purpose, digging, ongoing, you might not know, you might not be able to relate totally. But you know what? There's things that can begin to work on us. And we got to have God to help us with it. And we've got to turn our eyes away from it. Now it's required. It's required for life. We have to tarry long enough. And I found that many times when we get down to pray, and these things, if whatever things they may be in your life, or every one of us face different things. But when these things begin to trouble us, and they're going to stop us, and they're right there, you know what? Stay there for a while. Lord, I need you to help me. I can't shut this out of my mind on my own. Lord, I need a drink from heaven. I need some strength to go on. Lord, I believe that you came to bring me life and to bring it more abundantly right in the midst of this trouble that I'm in right now. And you know what? When we tarry there a while and the Lord touches us with a little tongue from the altar, life changes. Our circumstances don't change at all, but we change dramatically in the presence of the Lord. It's those that will do that through life that make it from here to the end. And make it and see the gates open wide. Come on in, thou faithful servant. Isn't that what we want to be? Isn't that what we want to do? I want to encourage us today. Lord, help us to make an end. You know, sometimes we feel a pull. A pull from the world. You feel the effects. You feel. I was in one room this morning, and Rosie shut another door, and clear behind a closed door, I felt air come in under. I felt an effect. You know, we feel the pulls of the world around us. We feel the atmosphere that comes in the air. You know what? I see people sometimes that get so involved in whatever pull that is and get so taken up with it that you don't hear the praises of the Lord on their lips. The thanksgiving of God, the meditation of the Word of God and how it's been rich, because there's these things that's going on that's taking the place of this Jesus that wants to be in our heart and in our life today. Lord, teach us how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We find there life. We find it more abundantly. I think about the song that is written. I can't remember the author's name, but he said, "Alone with God, that the world forbidden." And you know, he talks about that secret place, and he said, it's there I find new strength for duty. You know what? He's coming to a secret place. He wrote a song about his experience in that place. It's there I find new strength for duty. It's there that I tarry until all the rumbling stops and the Lord begins to speak. And the quiet place, like Elijah had to find when he was in the cave, and all that rumbling, and finally he knew the Lord wasn't in any of that, but then the still small voice of the Lord gave him clear direction. Go back. Anoint Elisha. Go back and this king over here. I want you to go back and do this. You know what? If we will tarry before God until we hear His voice, He'll give us clear instruction in our life. He'll give us a clear path to walk in. He'll give us some convictions in our life that are right and that are godly and will take us to heaven. I was thinking about even discouragement. Have you ever felt discouraged? I have. I have experienced feeling very discouraged at times. You know, sometimes it's just difficult at some points in life to lift up your head when maybe somebody beside you is dragging. It's hard to do that. You know what? Our secret is, the secret of the Lord is, that I have all power in heaven and in earth. Come and look up to me. Look to me and you'll live. You wonder, what can I do? I don't understand. Get with the Lord. Look up to Him. Let all the rumbling stop and look up. Lord, I want you to teach me. And you know, when you do that, you'll live, it says. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's wonderful to have that in our soul this morning. Discouragement in others. Just a couple of other things I wanted to mention. Discouragement in others. That you see that, why do they do that? I don't understand. I didn't ever think they would do that. You know what? That's a big thing, isn't it? We affect one another. But the Lord wants to affect us more than we affect one another. I think about pride or lust. Will those things ever make their approach to us? They sure will. You know what? We've got to get with the Lord. Lord, I need your help. I want to be one of your humble children. I want to be one of those that you speak to, that through life, that I can make it in when I get to the end of the way, that I can hear, well done. I want to make it there, Lord. You know, that comes from looking to the Lord. There's complete encouragement in Him. In Luke 21, I know this is a pretty simple little message, but Luke 21 and 27 says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads." You know what? When the world starts turning upside down and all kinds of things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads and look up, He says, "for your redemption draweth nigh." And He spake to them a parable, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." Now, some of that he was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and I believe some was the end of time. But the Lord wants us to look up. He wants us to settle our eyes up. Our redemption draweth nigh. There's not too far off in the distance that we have an everlasting place in the Lord, with the Lord. And He wants us to keep our eyes on those things. Mark 16 and 14. And this, afterward, talking about Jesus, "He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen." You know, sometimes I've wondered, well, Lord, why did you upbraid them? It would have been pretty hard to just, you know, here Jesus, they saw him crucified and they saw him laid in a grave. But Jesus wanted them to believe in spite of it. And he upbraided them. He got after them a little bit. Why didn't you believe what when they came and said that he was risen, that we met Jesus along the way and he spoke to us? Why didn't you believe that? The Lord upbraided them a little bit. I want us to think about this little poem I've heard, and I don't often read poems, but said the robin to the sparrow, "Friend, I'd really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." You know, sometimes we get our eyes so much on the things around us that we forget that the Lord has given a rest to us and to the people of God. And He has given all power in heaven and earth. The Father has given to Jesus, and He wants to give a little bit of that to us. In Luke 8 and 23, I'm amazed at how the Lord sometimes was pretty strong about some of these things. He said here, Luke 8 and 22, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be getting a little bit concerned if the boat was filling up. "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." You know, we're not surprised, are we, that the Lord would command the winds and the water like that and the waves. But these disciples were in the middle of this storm, and it was big in their eyes. What are we going to do? We're perishing. The boat is filling up with water. It was going to sink. It seems like they had a right to be very concerned. But Jesus was on board, and that's why he upbraided them a little. He said, "Where is your faith? Don't you know I'm on board? Don't you know you're not going to sink? You're not going to sink with me on board?" I believe that's why the Lord told them that. And so when they finally did the right thing and ran to the Lord, Master, we perish. We perish. If you don't help us, we're going to sink. You ever felt like that before? I have. I believe many of us, many times through life, we will find those places where, Lord, if you don't help us, how can we stay afloat? Our boat is filling up with water. What are we going to do if you don't help us? Well, you know, the good thing is the Lord will help us. Let's look up to the Lord, and let's let Him be that to us. We don't have to understand everything. We don't have to see the water going out of the boat. But if the Lord's on board, if the Lord is on board, we are not going to sink. It doesn't matter what kind of situation we're in, we will not sink if the Lord is on board this morning. The song number 283, I want to read the verses. They were just such an inspiration to me. "If thou wilt know the fountain deep of sweet unbroken rest," and I'm not going to try to preach that I don't sometimes feel a need to rest when I feel restless, okay? But this song says, if you'll know the fountain deep of sweet unbroken rest, the rest of faith thy soul shall keep. He that believes is ever blessed. That's more than just a mind belief. That's a belief in our heart. It comes from an active action with the Lord. It comes from that drinking from the Lord that causes that to be like that. He that believes is ever blessed. Verse 2 says, The gift of faith no limit knows, save God's unbounded word. That's the only limit of faith, is what the Lord promises. It triumphs o'er its giant foes and glorifies the blessed Lord. Verse 3, stay not in feeble unbelief. When He commands, be strong in Him, the word believe, and shout the overcomer's song. Verse 4, I can do all in Jesus' name. Thus sings the faith of God. It sings and hills of trouble flee. It rides triumphant on the wave. Put on thy strength, O Zion, rise and fix thy trust above the skies. Move out on face almighty plain. Through Him that loved us, dare to reign. I want to encourage us this morning. Let's reign with the Lord. The Lord has been given by God all power, and He's willing to share some of that with us. He's willing to give us all that we stand in need of, and He's willing to help us in whatever place we find ourselves in life. Let's believe that. Let's have faith to rise up to that almighty plane and stand on it and be willing to trust Him. Be willing, Lord, I just believe You're going to help us. I just believe we're not going to sink. I was thinking, I hope this kind of goes with it, but I just was, many times I've been blessed by this thought. When we were young, we used to water ski a lot. And with the first time, I tell you, it was like I felt like I was just drinking the lake, as they call it. But it's not easy to get up the first time always. It takes something. But you know, that same water that would stop you and drown you is what allows you to do that skiing. It's really enjoyable and a very enjoyable experience. And as soon as you can learn, and there's a way to pop up on top where you can just jump up on top once you learn how to do that, and you just pop up on top. And that very water that would keep you under is what keeps you up. But, of course, you have to be hanging on to the rope. You have to be holding on. God will do that for us. The very things that would keep us down are the things that will push us to Him. It's the very things that will cause us to draw closer to the Lord, where we can get up on top of those things. And I believe they'll support us even. The very things that would destroy us will support us, because we recognize God is at work here, and He begins to work in our life. I want to look at another scripture too, Mark 16 and 14. We read a similar scripture. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Now, we read in Luke a while ago, but listen to what Jesus went on to say. And He said unto them, after He upbraided them, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You know what? The Lord, on the very end of that, He said, now, I want you to go out. I want you to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't want you to set back in unbelief. You know what? If you've ever read a little, I wanted to read it this morning, but I thought it might be a little too gruesome. But the apostles went out, and they went all over the world. They went to Syria. They went as far, I believe, as England. They went into Spain. They went into Asia. Well, you know where Paul's travels were, in Asia Minor and all over where Greece, Italy. We find Thomas went clear down into India and different places in the world. These men went out. In spite of what had happened, God gave them a commission. Don't you sit around here crying because the things that had happened. I'm giving you a commission to go out. You know what, saints? The Lord wants us to get up and be at work. He has a lot of work for us to do. The Lord wants to commission your life to go out. These men that we follow, almost all of them lost their lives on crosses. Thomas, they burned him with hot irons and then threw him in an oven. And this is the best account they have. Then they threw him in an oven. And when they saw he wasn't going to cook, they thrust him through with spears. And we see that so many, all of them but John, died by martyrdom. You know what? It didn't stop them at all. They went right on and did the work of God. The Lord does not want the things of this life, the challenges that this age is experiencing, the things that is in our future. He does not want them to stop us at all. In fact, much more, He wants us to take the mantle and go forward. God has a work for us in our lives, every one of us. And I just want to encourage us this morning, pick up the mantle that God has for you. Go forward in the things of the Lord. Don't allow yourself to be stopped by the things that would stop you. They're different for every person. But if we allow those things to stop us, if we'll get our eyes on things, it might even be the pleasures or riches of this life. If we get our eyes on those things, it will stop us and it will hinder us from doing the very things that God wants to empower us to do. Take our lives and give them to the Lord and spend enough time at the cross getting your eyes up on the Lord and hearing His voice to hear His call, to hear His voice. It takes a little time away from all the chatter if you want to hear the voice of the Lord. But that's where the empowerment comes. That's where the clear direction in our life comes from. And that's where the strength is renewed, is in those places. They that wait upon the Lord, the Scripture says, shall renew their strength. They're not just going to renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I may have that a little bit wrong there, but we know the Scripture says that. The Lord will take care of us. I want to encourage us today. Oh, don't stay in feeble unbelief. When God commands, be strong. The reason He commands be strong is because Christ has all power in heaven and in earth, and He's willing to give that to us. He's willing to give some of that, His life, to us. But it takes those that will look up away from the things of this life, away from the pleasures, the dreams, the problems, all the things at different parts of our life, at different times of our life, it'll be something different. Look away from it and look up. Look up, Lord. Our redemption is drawing nigh. I don't want to wait until the 11th hour and then hope to make it in. Lord, I want my life to count. How many of us here want our life to count? Take up the mantle. Take up God's salvation. Take the cup and go with it. And let God use your life. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate the saints.